Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Ches. We're going to begin on Ayin Ches with Aleph, six lines from the top with the Tanu Rabbanan, with the bringing of the Brisa. We're learning today Lili Nishmas, Larry Iram's mother, Eve Iram, Chava Bas Moshe. All the Nishams we learn for should have an Aliyah from all learning. So we begin with the Brisa, Tanu Rabbanan. Im Nemar Bonim, Lomen Nemar Doros. Im Nemar Doros, Lomen Nemar Bonim. What are we talking about? This is a pasuk we already brought down in the previous shiurim. The pasuk tells us, "Bonim asher yivoldu lehem dor shlishi, yavo lehem bekal Hashem." We're going to dash in this pasuk today. So it mentions in this pasuk, if you have children that are born from the Mitzri or the Edomi that are in the first and second generation, they can come into the kal. But in the dor shlishi, in the third generation, again, the convert is generation one, the child is generation two, the grandchildren level is generation three. So the grandchildren are mutter lovo bekal, but the grandparent and the child, they're not permitted. Only the grandchild and onward are permitted lovo lekal. This is true for the men and the women from the Mitzri and Edomi nations. So the Braisa is asking, why did you have to be somewhat repetitive in the pasuk? You told me, bonim asher yivoldu lohem, and then you say dor shlishi. And then we'll ask momentarily, why does it say lohem twice? Asher yivoldu lohem, yavo lohem. So those are the two questions we're going to address. The first one is, why are you repeating bonim and doros? It would seem to be enough to just say one of the two. So one says it's not. Im nemar bonim velo nemar doros. If you just had told me the word bonim, bonim asher yivoldu lohem, yavo lohem bekal Hashem. So you know what I would have said in that situation? Hayisomer bein rishon visheni yasser. The first child that's born to the Mitzri and the second child that's born to the Mitzri, they are not permitted lovo lekal. However, the third child that's born, Shlishi Mutter, that's how I would have understood it if it didn't tell me the generations. Lekach Nemar Doros, that's why it had to tell me the generations. However, Vim Nemar Doros, it only told me the generations, Lo Nemar Bonim, it didn't tell me the children. You know what I would have said? Yisi Omer, it's the third generation from Har Sinai. Lo Sana Omdim Har Sinai. We count Har Sinai generation as one, the children of that generation as two, and then the grandchildren of that generation would be Mutter Lovo Lekal. And even nowadays, a first generation Mitzri is more than two generations removed from Har Sinai, so then they would be permitted immediately. Lekach Nemar Bonim, therefore they have to tell us that you count the generations starting from the convert, from the Mitzri Rishon or the Edomi Rishon. Now, why did it have to say the word Lohem twice? Lohem teaches us the first Lohem, Mehem Mene, count from them. On your own, you might have said that you don't count the generation that converted, and the Mitzri Rishon would be the child of the first generation. So the child would be generation one, the grandchild would be generation two, and the great-grandchild would be only the first generation that we permitted Lovo Lekal. So therefore, you tell us, you count from them, they count as generation one. The second Lohem, that comes to teach us, Halach Achar Psulon. You go after the most posel of the two parents, that's who you follow in terms of determining what is the child. What is the status of the child? As Rashi points out in Dira Maskel, Lohem Halach Achar Psulam, this is already halfway down the Omid in the Rashis. It tells us the second Lohem is teaching us the Nitmu B'Ksherim. If you have over here a mixture of Ksherim, for example, you have Kagon Mitzri, Shinosir Yisraelis, Yisrael Shinosir Mitzris. So you have over here the person that's not permitted to marry into the call, the Mitzri, that marries the Bas Yisrael, or a Yisrael that marries the Mitzris. This Isser applies, as we pointed out, to both the male and female members of Mitzri and Edomi nations. So, holech acharehen, you go after the psul. So you don't say, well, half the parentage is good, so let's go after the kosher parents. So the second Lohem tells us that you follow the psul amongst them and not the kosher amongst them. More further dashes and explains, why did you need to write Lohem? The pasuk that tells us that you count the three generations from the grandparent level, the convert level, that's level one. The children level is level two. The grandchildren level is level three. And then why do you have to tell me also asher yivoldu that they give birth to? Doesn't that seem to imply the same thing? So the Gemara says no. V'yitzruch lemichtav lohem, v'yitzruch lemichtav asher yivoldu. You need both of them, because if you only had one of them, because of rechmona asher yivoldu, the children that are born. So you tell me that's how I would know that the third generation is the grandchild generation. No, I might have said hava mina mi b'neihem minei. It means to count from the children. In other words, the grandchildren would be the second generation, and the great grandchildren would only be the third generation. That's why kos rechmona lohem. That's why you have to tell me, Mnei Mehem, count from them. So that includes the converts, the Mitzri Rishon, the Edomi Rishon, into the generational count. And if you just wrote that, because Rachmana Lohem, again, I would have said, Hava Mina Mitzris Meuberetz Shiniskaira, if a pregnant Mitzris had been Niskaira, so I might have said, He Ubino Chad, that her child is generation one as well, because they converted together, so to say, well, the baby was inside of her, so the baby also counts as generation one, therefore, Kasa Rachmona Asher Yivaldu, to tell us no. If the baby was born after the conversion took effect, so the conception was not Bikdusha, but the birth was Bikdusha, so then this baby is already considered a second generation Mitzri. So that's why you need the first Lohem, and you need Asher Yivaldu. Furthermore, Gemara says, Vitzdrich Lemichtav Lohem Hocha, and it was also necessary to write the second Lohem, which we said was that you should go and count Holech Acher Psulan, that you go after the Pasul in the two parents, and it was also Itzuch Lemichtav Lo Gabi Mamze. And we have a similar Pasuk where it says, Lo Yavo Mamze Bekal Hashem, Gam Dor Asvi Lo Yavo Lo Bekal Hashem. So this Lohem that's written by the Mitzri Shlishi and the Lo that's written by the Mamzer, they teach us seemingly the same thing. So why do I need both of them? Each of them is telling us that you go after the possible parent. So why did I need it to tell me by both? If you tell it to me by the Mitzri, I'll know the din by the Mamzer. Or tell it to me by the Mamzer, I'll know the din by the Mitzri. And Mor says, no, you wouldn't know that. Because it's Rechle Michtav, both of them, because the Kasa Rechmana Hocha, because if you only wrote it over here in regards to the Mitzri situation, I would have said, Mishum Dubar Mitiyah Papsula, because the parents of the Mitzri were Mitzriim, and therefore they come from a Tipa Psula. They weren't coming from a Tipa from the Yiddish nation. And therefore, I would have said, therefore, that's why the Torah is telling us you follow the Psul between them. But a Mamzer, while a Mamzer is a horrible product of an illicit relationship, both of the parents were kosher beforehand. In the typical Mamzer case, Rachmana Litzlan, you have an adulterous relationship, so the father was permitted to have relations with his wife, and the mother was permitted to have relations with the husband, Nebuch. They had relations with each other instead of their spouses. So they come from a Tipak Shera, a Mamzer, the Bami Tipak Shera. So Emelo, I would have said, you know what? You don't follow the Psul. If one of the two parents is good, then you follow the good parent, because it doesn't come from Tipak Shera. So therefore, Emelo, and therefore you need to tell me the Pasuk by Mamzer, Gam Dorasiri Lo Yavo Lo Vikal Hashem. That comes to teach us that you follow the Psul, even if only one of the two parents is a Mamzer. Okay, just tell me by Mamzer, and I'll certainly know by Mitzri the same din. So the one says, because the Rechmana Gabi Mamzer, if you only wrote it by Mamzer, you know what I would have said? Mishum de'ein roi lovo b'kahal la'ola. A Mamzer can never enter into the Kahal, so therefore it's very strict, and that's why if either of the parents is a Mamzer, the child is a Mamzer. However, here by the Mitzri, I might have said, Abalacha, emelo. The bottom line is that this eventually will be allowed to come into Klai Yisrael. So maybe you don't follow the psul in this situation. Therefore, tzricha, therefore you have to tell me hem and lo, respectively, to teach us this din, that you holech achar psulan, both by Mamzer as well as the Mitzri Adomi Shlishi. Well, it continues and tells us, Amar Rabba Bar Barachan Amar Yochanan, Rabba Barachan says the name of Yochanan, Mitzri Sheini, Shinoso Mitzvah Rishona. If you have a male Mitzri who's second generation, and he marries a first generation mitzvah, so the first generation mitzvah was a convert herself. The mitzvah sheni, the man, his parents were converts, so he's a second generation, kosher second generation mitzvah, but he's not mutulav lokal. So what is the status of the child? Do you follow the father and it would be a mitzvah shlishis, permissible lovel lokal, or you follow the mother and the child would be a mitzvah sheni, despite the fact that the father was also a mitzvah sheni? So Rabbi Barachana says in the name of Yochanan, Beno shlishi havoy. Her child is a shlishi. In other words, alama kasavar basar dide shadina le. You see, Rav Yochanan holds that the father is the critical factor here, and that we go by the paternal lineage in determining what the child is. So the father is a mitzri sheni, the child is a mitzri shlishi, despite the fact that the mother was a mitzris rishona. This is question by Rav Yosef. Moser Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, wait a second. Rav Yitarvu no mer yechol mamzer litar. I could go and be mitar mamzer. Kate said, how would I do this? A mamzer, nor so shivcha. Let a mamzer become a evet ivri and be permitted to go and marry a shivcha kinanis. And then they have children. The children belong. The pasuk says, who yetzei v'gapo, but a shivcha v'ilodeha tiel adonel, who yetzei v'gapo. So in this situation, the children, or yishav v'ilodeha, they stay with the master. And he goes out at the end of his 6 years. So therefore, what do you see? The mamzer, let him marry the shivcha. The children will be avodim, and then shichro, and then go and free them. And now, nimtza ben chorim, the children no longer have the status of a mamzer. What do you see? You follow the status of the mother and not the status of the father. I'm a basar di da shodin on lay, and not basar di day. So Rav Yossi says the pasuk in Chumash telling us that the children are avadim and not mamzerim in this situation seems to contradict what Rabbi Bar Yochanan just told us in the name of Rav Yochanan. So Gemara says, no, there you have a specific pasuk telling us not to follow the rule of Rav Yochanan. Shiny hasuk de amakra, because the pasuk tells us, Yishav yiladeh t'yala donev, hu yitzeh v'gapau. Only in that situation do you follow the mother. But in all other situations, Rabbi Bar Yochanan, Amar Rav Yochanan says you follow the father. Still not happy. Gemara questions this again from Rava. Most of Rava. Rava questions this ruling of Rabbi Bar Yochanan Amar Rav Yochanan. He says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanna Rav Yehuda says, that I had a colleague, we had this Gemara previously, Min Yamin Ger Mitzri Hoyoli Chover Mitamide Rabbi Akiva. I had a colleague, Min Yamin, who was one of the Tamidim of Rabbi Akiva with me. Again, it's very appropriate for us to having this discussion about Rabbi Akiva's Tamidim during the Sfira period of time. I'm dictating this year 2 days before Lag BaOmer, when the Tamidim of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying. Machlokas between the Mechaber and the Ramah as to whether they stopped dying after the full 33 days, and that's why the Svardim, who followed the opinion of the Mechaber, only start taking haircuts and shaving on Lamed Dalet, because they say that they only stopped dying at the conclusion of the 33 days, whereas the Ramah, Ashkenazim, we paskin that you're allowed to already start taking haircut on the 33rd day, because that's when the Talmidim stopped. In any event, it's very appropriate to mention the great Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, that Nebuch had a tragic end, the first 12,000 pairs of Talmidim that he had. Minyamin Ger Mitzri was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and he said, V'yamar, ani Mitzri Rishon, I'm a convert myself. V'nosasi Mitzri Rishona, and I married a Mitzri Rishona, a convert herself. So our children are going to be Mitzri Sheni, according to everybody. Asi Livni Mitzri Shnia, I'm going to have my son go and marry also a Mitzri Shnia like him, in order, Kidei, Shehev Ben Bini, that my grandchildren, Roy Lovo Bakahal. So this way, they'll be Roy Lovo Bakahal. Now, he specifically said that his son should marry a Mitzri Shenis. Now, if it's true, Rabbi Bar Barachana, Amar Yochanan, that even if his son had married a Mitzri Rishona, that the child would still be a Mitzri Shlishis, Visoka Daitoch, if you follow the father, so then afilu rishona nami. So then, why did he insist that his son, or why did he say that his son would marry a mitzvah shenis, so the children would be, the grandchildren would be permissible lovo lekahal as mitzvah shlishis? His son, who was a mitzvah shenis, could have even married a mitzvah rishona, according to you. Why did he specifically say he's going to have his son marry a mitzvah shnia? So the Gemara says no. Ha'amale Rav Yochanan l'tana. Rav Yochanan said to this tana, tani rishona. So right in this statement, this brisa that you're bringing down over here about Rav Yehuda, that Minyam and Ger Mitzri said, I'm going to have my son, Asi Levni Mitzris, even Rishona. Not only a Shnia, but even a Rishona. So therefore, there's no contradiction to what Rav Yochanan said. That's the first version that we had of this story. Ki Asa Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, when Rav Dimi came up from Eretz Yisrael, he said over the name of Rav Yochanan, Mitzri Sheni, Shinasa Mitzris Rishona, Bino Sheni Havoi. Here he said, totally the opposite. According to this version, a Mitzri Sheni that married a Mitzri Rishona, the child is a Sheni. Here he says the opposite of what we said before, Alma Basar Imei Shadinale. According to this version of Rav Yochanan, before we had Rabbi Bar Barachana's version of Yochanan, it says you follow the father. The father is a second generation Mitzri. The mother's a first generation Mitzri. The product between them is a third generation. You follow the father. But Rav Dimi said in the name of Rav Yochanan the exact opposite. If the father's second generation and the mother's first generation, the child is second generation. You follow the mother and not the father. So we question this as well. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Dimi, I, El Hodom Rav Yochanan, we have the statement that Rav Yochanan made elsewhere. If Rish Atos Mioberes Vyolda, if a man was going to be required to bring a Korban Chatos, and a Chatos is a female animal, and he brings a Chatos, and the Chatos was already pregnant, he designated this Chatos to be his Chatos, and it's a pregnant Chatos already. So Rotzo, and then it gives birth. Rotzo Miskaper Bo, Rotzo Miskaper Vyolda. When this female chatos gives birth, he now has two chatos, and therefore he only is required to bring one. He can bring whichever one he wants, and the other one will be roa atche tisabe. It will go and pasture until he gets a mum, and then it will be redeemed, and you'll bring with the funds at Nola. Fine. Now, this works out great. Iamris bishloma ubor lav yerech imohu. This holds well if you say that the ubor, the fetus inside a mother, is not considered like her thigh. It's considered a separate entity. So now we understand that when this person had designated a chatos that was pregnant, so it basically was, there was designating two chatos. It's as if, havalei ki mafrish shtei chatos lachrayos, and the rule of thumb is, when you designate two chatos, one is automatically to be held in abeyance in case something happens to the first one. So you have Chatas A, Chatas B. You're planning on bringing Chatas A, but you designate Chatas B, not because you're bringing two Chatos. You say, should something happen to Chatas A, I'm going to go and bring Chatas B and have it all ready to go, so there's no delay. And Rav Oshaya said about this, if a person does this, if a person designates two Chatos at the same time, which is the equivalent in this situation, if the Seira, let's say this goat that he's designating as his Chatos, was pregnant, so it's as if he's designating two Chatos, Leachrayas, and Rav Oshaya says, the din is Miskaper Be'achas Ben, you can go and be Miskaper whichever one you want of the two, Vashnia Tira, Shet Tzayim, and the second one, you let pass through until he gets a mum, and then you redeem it, and you purchase with the funds, at Ola, Leketz HaMizbeach. Now, that works out great if you hold like that. Elo yamris uber yerechimuhu. However, if you hold that the uber is like a thigh of the mother, it's a intrinsic part of the mother. It's not a separate entity. It is part of the mother. So then, in this situation, havele vlad chata. So then, when this baby inside the seira is born, this baby goat. So this baby goat is considered a vlad chatos, and the halacha is a vlad chatos is put to death. Vlad chatos lemiso ozil. It's not considered liachrayis. Now, how is the question? We had said that we brought down that Rabbi Yochanan holds that you can, in fact, bring the Sira's offspring that was born or the mother. So clearly, Rabbi Yochanan seems to imply that you don't hold uber yerachimahu. So how come the Rav Dimi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that we follow the mother? Isn't that because of uber yerachimahu? So Rav Dimi didn't have an answer. Ishtik, he was silent. He basically was schlugged up, he thought. Let's explain this one more time to make sure it's clear. Rav Dimi tells us the name of Rav Yochanan, that the Mitzri Sheni, the man, is a Sheni, and he marries Mitzri Shoshona, the mother is a Rishona, so then we follow the mother. Benoah Sheni Havoi. We follow the mother, according to Rav Dimi, not like Rabbi Baruchana, who said the name of Yochanan, we follow the father. Rav Dimi says you follow the mother. Rav Yochanan's opinion is you follow the mother. That must be, the Gemara is assuming right now, because he holds Ubar Yerach Imahu. But if he holds Ubar Yerach Imahu, so then in the case of the person who is Mafrish Echatos Meuberes, so then the din should be that you can only be Miskapa with the mother, and that the Vlad is Lemisa Ozil. But that's not what Abaye said. Abaye said that Rav Yochanan holds Rotsa Miskapa Bar, Rotsa Miskapa Bavlada. So there seems to be an internal contradiction within Rav Yochanan, and that's why Rav Dimi was silent. Ishtik. However, Abaye himself, who asked the question, again, the honesty of the Chazal, they were only interested in the truth, not interested in winning. Here he won. He could have gone home and high-fived. But no. Instead, Amalei, he said to Rav Dimi, maybe this is the answer that you should say. Dilmo shiny hasam, in the case of the two parents, it's not because of Ubar Yerach Imahu, it's Dechsiv Asher Yivoldu. It says those that are born into the third generation are allowed to vote Lo Vakal. Hakosuv, the Torah itself, attached it to Lo Beleda, said it's dependent upon the Leda, has nothing to do with the Machlokas of Ubar Yerach Imo or not. Rav Dimi says, Amalei, Karkafna, oh, you brilliant one. Karkafna means a skull, a head. As Rashi says, Odom Choshev, you are an important person. Chazise L'reishach, I saw your head. Beni Amude, Ki Amar Rav Yochanan L'Hoshmaisa. He's saying, it's as if I saw you learning in the base medrash of Rav Yochanan. I think that's the way it should be understood, not that he literally was there. Rashi says over here that where this halacha was taught, you were as if you were standing there. In other words, you were in the base medrash of Yochanan when he taught this din, and you heard and understood what he really meant. And therefore, that's a good teretz. Tosfos explains that Abaye wasn't there, but it was his Rebbe Rabba, and he must have heard this teretz from his Rebbe Rabba. It's such a good teretz that you were as if you were there in the base medrash at the time that Rav Yochanan said this. You have the correct answer. Now the Gemara says, Taimo del Siv Asher Yivoldu. As we just brought down, it's because Rav Yochanan holds that you follow the mother, it's based upon the Pasuk. It has nothing to do with Uber Yerachimo. It's based upon the Pasuk, Asher Yivoldu, that will be given birth. Implying, Habi Alma, that in general the rule is, if you didn't have the specific Pasuk telling us that you follow the mother, Basar Avu Asher Dinolei, that you follow the father in terms of patrilineal lineage. Ella, how do you explain then, Adam Arava, that which Rava said, that Nochris Meuberes Shinis Gaira. If a pregnant woman was pregnant, so the baby was conceived while she was still a guy, and then she converted, and the baby's inside of her, so they quote both conversion is Gaira. Benoah Ein Tzarech Tvila. So Rava had said that the child doesn't need Tvila. But if you're telling us it's Asher Yivoldu, Amai Ein Tzarech Tvila. Why doesn't the baby need Tvila? It's when he's born, so he's a separate entity from the mother. We don't say that the tefillah that the mother had worked for the baby. So that's the question that we ask on this idea that Asher Yivoldu is the critical source. So Gemara says, "Ah, you're going to tell me v'chitenu mishum Rabbi Yitzchak that no, the reason why the baby's immersion is considered a kosher immersion inside the mother is because Rabbi Yitzchak Dvar Torah Rubo Umakbid Olav Chotzes. If you have a chatzitza that covers the majority of the body, chatzitza is something that you don't want there, you're makbid about it, and it covers the majority of the body, so then that is considered a chatzitza. Rubo she'eno makbid, but if it's a robe that you don't mind, so." Ain't a machbir alav, ain't a chotzis, then it's not a chatzitza. And the baby doesn't mind having the mother's body around it, even though it's a chatzitza from the baby to the tvila, but the baby's happy to have the mother's body there. It protects the baby, it feeds the baby, it oxygenates the baby. So therefore, the baby's not machbir. And that's why the tvila on the mother works for the pregnant mother and the fetus inside of her. So maybe that's the teretz. And we turn to Ayin Ches Amid Beis, where the woman says, no. V'homer Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana said, lo shanu el arubo. This idea that Rav Yitzchak brought down, that it's only if rubo and you're not makbid, that it's not considered chatzitza on a derais level. Midra rabbanan, we consider it a chatzitza. But on a derais level, it's not considered chatzitza. That's only rubo. Lo shanu el rubo. But here, the entire baby is covered. Avo kulo, the entire baby. So even though you're not makbid, therefore, chotzeitz. So therefore, it is a good question. If Yivoldu is coming to teach us that we don't follow this principle of uber yerech imo, so then the baby should need a new tefillah. How come the baby doesn't need a new tefillah? You can't say rubo v'eino makbid, it's kulo, and even if eino makbid, it's a chatzitza. So Morris says a simple teretz, shiny uber, uber is different. Dahainu revise, this is normal. Every baby is like this. So this is not considered in the realm of chatzitza, this is considered normal. When a person goes to be tovo, we don't say, well, his heart wasn't tovo, his heart was separated from the water by the skin and the body. No, that's revise. That's the normal growth. That's the normal way that a baby inside the mother is growing, is becoming a mature fetus to eventually be born as a mature child. So therefore, that's why we don't consider this even in the realm of chatzitza. And therefore, there's no stira in saying Yivaldu is coming to teach us in this case the situation isn't uber yerech imo. Okay. Now we have another halacha from Yochanan. Ki osa Ravina, Rav Yochanan. Ravina came from Eretz Yisrael. Again, the Amoraim often came from Eretz Yisrael to tell us the opinions of Rav Yochanan and sometimes others as well to their colleagues of Babel, and then they would go back and repeat to Rav Yochanan what the Babylonian great sages said. So when Ravina came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Yochanan, "Beumos, in regards to the nations of the world, holich acher azocha, you follow patrilineal descent in saying whether this child is considered a Mitzri or the child is considered a Domi. What happens if a Mitzri who didn't convert married a Ammoni? So is the child a Mitzri or is the child an Ammoni? So by the umos of the world, you follow patrilineal descent." But once they convert and they become Yidden, then holech acher pogum shebishneim. As we brought down, then you follow the more blemished of the two. And that will depend on the specific situation. Sometimes if it's a male child, so then the more blemished of the two, for example, would be the Moab father or the Edom father. Whereas the mother was Moab or Edom, and you give birth to a girl, that's less blemished. They enter into Klai right away. So then you might follow the mother in that situation was a Mitzri, and the child would be considered a Mitzri Shnia rather than being a Moavit woman who can enter into the Kal right away. So it will depend, obviously. So this din, the Ravina Torah, says when they're still Goyim, you follow patrilineal descent. But when they convert, so then you take the bigger pogum between them, and that's how you follow. So Bumos, Holech Achar Azocha, what does that mean? Kiditanya, it goes according to the following Brisa. If you have one of the regular nations of the world, not from the Zayin Umamim, having relations with a woman who comes from the Zayin Umamos, in other words, you're commanded to go and wipe out the Zayin Umamos, but you're not commanded to wipe out the rest. So therefore, how do you know that this child, what is its status? Shata Rasha Liknosub Eved, that you're allowed to go and purchase this child as an Eved? Because you follow the father. The father, Le'echad Min Ha'Umos, if the father was from the Echad Min Ha'Umos, and even though the mother was from the Shiva Umamos, so therefore you would have said that this normally follows the rule of the Chiyav to go and get rid of the seven nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael, the Canaanite nations that lived in Eretz Yisrael. So in that situation, you have the father permissible to have this person, the child as an Eved. The mother would not be permissible. So how do we know in this situation, Shato Rashoy could also be Eved, Shenema, it's based upon this patrilineal descent. And it says, V'gam ibnei ha-toshevim ha-gorem imechem mehem tiknu. From the people that live amongst you, you'd be allowed to go and take them to be an Eved. Now, Yachal Afilu Echem in a Kananim. I might have said that this applies even then to the Kananim. Shabbat Allah Hasmi Kolumos Volu Ben. That if the Kanani was the father and had relations with a woman that was from the other parts of the world, that you'd be allowed to go and have this son as an Eved as well, which is not the din. Shatarosha Liknos Eved, you might have thought you'd be allowed to. Talmud Lomah, the Pasuk says, Asher Olidu Be'aretzuchem. It tells us that those that were born in your land. So what does this mean? Min Hano Lodim Be'aretzuchem. From the ones that were born in Eretz Yisrael, meaning they were born to a Kanani mother and a non-Kanani father, there you're allowed to have those children to be your avodim. However, not v'lo min ha'garim b'yartzichem, but not the people that just live in your land, like the Kanani father and the non-Kanani mother. They're not considered no lodim b'yartzichem, they're considered garim b'yartzichem. So therefore, you clearly see from this brisa, Rav Yochanan's principle that Ravina brought down of patrilineal descent by the Umos HaOlam. Could be to make it L'chumra or L'kula. You go by the father. If the father was a Kanani, so then the child is a Kanani. If the father is not a Kanani, even though the mother is a Kanani, so then you go by the father and the child is not a Kanani. That was the first statement that Rav Yochanan made according to Ravina. Then he said, Nizgairu, Holech Achar Pogam Shneim. If you, both of them converted, then you take the more Pogam of the two. So I'd already given an example of this. And the Gemara says, B'mai, what is he talking about? Ilema b'mitzri shenos amonis. If you're dealing with a mitzri that went and married, a male mitzri married an amonis, a female amonis, why does he say, my pogum shebishneim ispa? What does it mean you go after the more blemished of the two? Yes, the father is a mitzri, and he, quote, has a blemish, and that this first and second generation, the father, the first generation, and his son, the second generation, boy or girl, are not mutar lo v'lekol. But the Ammonite woman, so my pogum shebishneim ispa, Ammoni v'lo mo Ammonis. So she has no pagam in her whatsoever. So that can't be what he meant, that you go after the more blemish of the two. There's only one that has a blemish. So he says, you're right, that's not the case that we're talking about. El, we're dealing with Ammoni, a male Ammoni. So the progeny of the male Ammoni, if they're male, can never come l'kol. They're asurim forever. Shenos a mitzvah, but he marries a mitzvah. Now the mitzvah is only the first and second generation. That woman herself, mitzvah Rishona, and her child would be a mitzvah sheni. So here, in this situation, it depends on whether they have a boy or girl. If they have if they have a male child, so then the bigger blemish is to be from Ammoni and can never go into the cow. Shadi Bosar Ammoni, then you follow the father. That's a bigger blemish. But if it's a girl, so then if it was the Ammoni's girl, so then Mutu Lavola called Miyad. So therefore, here you follow the mother and say, Ini Keva Havi, Shadi Bosar Mitzvah. You follow the mother, and this will be a second generation mitzvah and not yet permissible Lavola Kahal. So that's the second part of Rav Yochanan's statement as taught over by Ravina. Now go to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us, Mamzerim Unesinim Asurin. The Surin Isser Olam, a Mamzer and a Nesin, and not allowed to go level or call, and this is a permanent prohibition that can never be rectified. Now again, the Mamzer did absolutely nothing wrong. This is a din, that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, that this poor child, he wasn't involved in illicit behavior. He's just the product of illicit behavior. Nevertheless, he has the status of being also level or call, and this is an Isser of an Isser Olam. And so too the Nesinim, who tricked Yoshua and said that they weren't from the Zion Umros, they really were Givonim. And they tricked them, so therefore they are punished forever, that they can't go lovel or kal, and this is an isser of olam, it's forever. And this is true, the Mishnah concludes, echad zuchorim v'echad nekevos. This is true for both male and female, mamzerim and nesinim. Fine. Amar Rish Lakish, Gemara starts and tells Rish Lakish, says, mamzeres li'acheres or doros mutares, that a mamzeres can be permitted after 10 generations. Only the female mamzeres, but not the male mamzeres. It's interesting. If you go and count 10 generations, so the first generation is 1 to 2. It's diluted, so to say, by half. Second generation is diluted again by half. It's to 4. Then you go to 8, to 16, to 32, to 64, to 128, to 256, to 512. And then you go to 1,000. After 10 generations, it's batel the elef. So that's an interesting aside. In any event, Reish Lakish says that this only applies to mamzeres, that after 10 generations, she becomes muteris lovo l'kohol. Not the male, but only the female. Where does he get this from? Reish Lakish says as follows, Yolof Asiri, Asiri, Mi Ammoni, Moavi. You learn it out comparable to the Ammoni and the Moavi. Malahalan nekevos mutoros, Avkan nekevos mutoros. So too over here, it says until the 10th generation, there by Ammon and Moav, which means forever, but here it means only for the males, but it doesn't mean for the females. After 10 generations, the female Mamzeres, Reish Lakish says, is permissible. Where it says, Wait a second. Then, if you want to compare it to Amoni and Moavis, not Amonis and Moavis, so then the Mamzeres should be permissible the first generation. A child born to a Mamzer, so a girl born to a Mamzer, she should be permissible right away if you want to make this analogy to Moavi below Moavis and Amoni below Amonis. If you're doing that, comparison should be immediately. Why after 10 generations? So the Gemara says, Kihani Gzerushava Mesirelech. No. So Reish Lakish holds that this Gzerushava, that it uses the terminology Asaradoros, Asiri Asiri, so that only is after the 10th generation and not beforehand. More questions is, it says, wait a second. For Anan Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Mamzerim and Asirim, Isurin Isir. Our Mishnah goes against Reish Lakish. As great as Reish Lakish was, he can't go against the famous Mishnah. He says, no, he's not going against the Mishnah. Lo kasha. Reish Lakish's ruling goes according to the way that we darshan. When you're darshaning something from something else, you darshan it, don mina, and then umina, and you continue to darshan from it. So he darshaned it out from Mamzeris from Moavi and Amoni, and therefore he darshans it fully through, and he goes through the entire way. However, our Mishnah goes like, Hokiman diomar domino for Oke Basra. Our Mishnah goes according to the opinion that says, yes, you learn it out. You learn out Mamza from Moav and Amoni. However, then you can go and continue to darshan it out from itself, Oke Basra, in its own place. Let's see this again outside. Reish Lakish darshans like the opinion that says, domino, you learn out Mamzer from the din of Moavi and Amoni. However, then you continue to darshan mina. What does this mean? That just like there by Moav and Amon, it applies only to the males after the 10 generations and not to the females, because it doesn't apply to the females at all. But since we're learning it out Asiri, Asiri, don mina, you learn from Asiri, and you continue to learn Asiri, so therefore the din also applies to the females at the 10th generation, that it doesn't apply to them. So therefore, the mamzer, which is learned out from Moav and Amon, doesn't apply according to Reish Lakish, domina, umina. You continue to darshan it all for the 10th generation. As opposed to the Tan of our Mishnah, he says, domina, yes, you learn out mamzer from Moav and Amon. However, okay, biasra, you go and look at it in its own context. And therefore, the mamzeres is no different than the mamzer in the first generation, so it's no different in the last generations as well, beyond the 10th generation. Not surprising, the halacha over here is not like Reish Lakish, it's like the Chachamim opinion that says that the mamzer does apply to mamzeres as well after the 10th generation. They ask the following shayla, shalu es Rabbi Eliezer, they ask Rabbi Eliezer, mamzeres le'achara, sorry, dori mahu, they ask him this question, do we pass in, so to say, like Reish Lakish or not? And Amar Lehem, he said, mi ten li dor shlishi vatarenu. He says, I could even be mater, a third generation mamzer. However, they can't give birth, so it never happens. Mamzerim don't give birth. So therefore, don't tell me about 10th generation mamzeres. A third generation mamzeres, I could be matar. It just never happens because they can't give birth. Mor says, really? What are you telling us over here? Amo kesova mamzera lo chai? According to Rabbi Eliezer, a mamzer can't live and give birth to other children? Is that really true? V'cheno Rav Huna. Yeah, mamzera lo chai. Rav Huna said the same thing, that a mamzer doesn't survive and won't be able to procreate. Mor says, wait a second, but our Mishnah says otherwise. Implying that it's an Isser Olam that they can't have children. So how can you tell us, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rav Huna, that they can't have children? Doesn't make any sense. So Rav Huna says, no, it makes perfectly good sense. I myself heard Rabbi Huda, the Amor Rav Huda, explain this. The idea, if you know for a fact that somebody's a mamzer, it's a vaday fact, everybody knows that so-and-so's a mamzer, so then there's no chance that their progeny will get mixed into Klai Yisrael, because everybody knows, stay away from them, they're mamzerim, their children are mamzerim, their grandchildren are mamzerim, so therefore, in that situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol doesn't have to kill them, because there's no chance that they'll intermix with the general population, they'll be kept outside of the Kahal, and therefore, the idea, if we in fact know that they're mamzerim, and everybody knows this, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu paradoxically lets them live. And they can procreate. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. However, the lo yediya, nobody knows about this illicit relationship. Nebuch, the woman committed adultery, and the baby that's born, everybody says mazel tov to her husband. Albeit the mazel tov, quote, is from the adulterer. So in this situation, nobody knows that this baby is a mamzer. So then, in this situation, lo chai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it that such a child doesn't survive. Because this child is a mamzer, but nobody will know it. And he'll marry, have a beautiful wedding with another yid, and be Yavo Lakal unintentionally when he's not allowed to. So that's where Lo Yediya, if we don't know that he's a mamzer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let it happen. The idea of Lo Yediya, if some people know, some people don't know, so then Atz Los Dari Chai. So then for three generations, that's what Elazar was referring to, for three generations it will live, because it'll still be known a little bit and people will stay away. Beyond that, Tvei, people won't know anymore. They won't realize that three generations ago there was a Shaila about this child. It was a blemished lineage. And after three generations, it won't be known anymore. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let them survive for more than three generations. Until three generations, they can be alive. But they won't procreate. They won't live beyond that. So that's how you would explain these somewhat unusual statements of Rabbi Elazar and Rav Huna. Seem to go against the Mishnah, but they don't. Another story. How the Havi B'Shavuse the Rav Ami. There once was a certain mamzer who lived in the neighborhood of Rav Ami. So they announced that he was a mamzer. Also, the poor mamzer started to cry. So Rav Ami said to him, "Don't cry. I in fact saved your life. If nobody knew you were a mamzer, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have had to take you away so you don't marry into the kahal. In this way, I'm giving you life. Everybody now knows that you're a mamzer, so you're going to have a normal life. And you can be able to have children, albeit you won't be able to love all the kahal. So I did you a favor by announcing this." Amr Chana Barada tells us, Nisinim David Gozer Alem. As we mentioned, the Nisinim came to Yoshua in the time that we entered into Eretz Yisrael, and they masqueraded as being from a nation far away, made a peace treaty with Klai Yisrael, and turned out they really were the Givonim. And therefore, from the time of Yoshua, he set them up to be Chotvei Eitzim, Vishoavei Mayim. What Rav Chana Barada is telling us over here, that David HaMelech made an additional Gezerah upon them, as the pasuk tells us, "Vayikra Hamelech laGivonim, vayomer aleim." So David HaMelech called to the Givonim and he said to them, "Vavigonim." The pasuk tells us, "Lo bimnei Yisrael heim avigomer." The Givonim were not part of Klal Yisrael; they were forbidden forever. Lavo lekahal. Now, my time of gozer aleim. What exactly did David gozer upon them? So the Gemara tells us, "Dechsev." The pasuk tells us furthermore in Shmuel Beis, "Vahi rov bimnei David." Shalosh Shonim, the gears our Gemara has is Shana Achar Shana, it really should be Shana Achare Shana, and it tells us, Shana Rishona, the first year of these 3 years, Amalehem Shema Ovdei Avodas Kochav Miyeshvuchem. David said, the reason why there must be a famine here is because there must be people that are still Ovid Avodah Zarah. Tichsib, Vavadetem Elohim Acherim, Yishtach Avisu Lehem, the Shema, we say, Vaotzer Shemaim, V'loyem Otov V'gomer. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing us with lack of rain because the people that are Ovid Avodah Zarah. However, he checked it out. Badku, they looked to see if the people over in Avodah Zarah were lamotzer. They didn't find people being over in Avodah Zarah, and therefore they felt that that wasn't the reason. Okay, second year came Shnia. Amalem Shema Ovdei Averi Yeshbuchem. David said, maybe to Klai Yisrael there are people here that are Ovdei Averi. Ovdei Averi is a lashon we use for inappropriate sexual behaviors. They're immoral, and therefore they're committing the behaviors of sexual immoralities. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has stopped the rain from coming. And this is based upon the pasuk. They'll say, Vayimanu revivim umalkosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stops the rains from coming. Lohya, there won't be any rain. Umeitzach isha zonah hayiloch v'gomer. Because the women had the foreheads, the boldness, the meitzach is a reference to the brazenness, the arrogance that people that are committing these sexual immoralities commit. So that must be the reason why the rains aren't coming. But they again checked it out, and they didn't find people that acting Rachmon Lutzlan in a sexually improper way, and therefore that wasn't the reason either. Bokshem, Klai Yisrael wasn't worshiping Avodah Zarah. Klai Yisrael was acting morally, and therefore that wasn't the reason. Third year came. Shlishas, Amar Lehem, maybe Shema postgate stock Barabi Mieshbuchem. They know them. Maybe there are people that are making big pledges to give stock, and then they don't follow through with their pledges. And based upon the pasuk, which says Dechsev, and you see him, there will be lots of clouds, the ruach, and be lots of winds, the geshemayim, but there won't be any rain. That's the apparent example of people making big pledges. Oh, clouds are coming, the winds are coming, it looks like there's going to be, Baruch Hashem, a big stocker drive, and then they don't pay through. There's no rain. People are going and giving these false pledges, and mata sheker, but there's no money coming in. So maybe that's why there's no rains. Again, Badku, they checked it out. Well, Matsu, they didn't find that was the reason either. So they didn't know why there was a famine for 3 years. Omar David said, it must be that it's not Klai Yisrael's fault, it's my fault. And miyad, immediately, David asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is going on here? What did I do, and what can we do to correct it? Mahi. So Omar Rish Lakish says, Shabi Ur Mitum, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu via the Ur Mitumim, and How do we see that this was what David did? My mashba. So I'm Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, look at the lashon. It says Asya Pnei Pnei. We have a Gzeir Shava of Pnei Pnei. What are the psukim? Ksiv Hocha Bakish David is Pnei Hashem. It says David asked Hashem Pnei Hashem, and it says by Yoram Ritum Ksiv Hasam Vishalo B'Mishpat Urim Lifnei Hashem. So therefore, clearly David asked Hashem, why is there this famine? So what does Hashem reply? Vayomer Hashem. Hashem tells David HaMelech, it's because El Shol V'Albeis Hadomim Al Asher Hemis. The word S should be added here. So there are two things over here the pasuk is telling us. Number one, El Shaul, Shalom Nisbat Kalocha. When Shaul died, so Klai Yisrael and David didn't properly mourn Shaul. Shaul was a great, great person, albeit there were problems that the Navi describes. And at the same time, they weren't masbidim properly. And this was a Chil Hashem. This was a lack of proper respect for the melech that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had anointed. And therefore, they were held accountable for not doing a proper hesped for Shaul. And at the same time, Shaul did have things that he did wrong. Ve'al Beis Hadamim, that's a reference to Al Asher Hemis Es HaGibonim, that Shaul killed out the Gibonim. Now, what does it mean, Shaul killed out the Gibonim? We know that Doeg HaEdomi ended up killing out Novir HaKohanim because they were under the impression that they were helping David rebel against Shaul. But he wiped out the entire city of Novir HaKohanim, a terrible, terrible thing that Doeg did with the authority of Shaul. And this is the Givonim. What does the Givonim have to do with this? So the Mefarshim explained that the Givonim supported the people of Novir HaKohanim with water and wood. They were the water carriers and the wood choppers. And when the city died out, they had nobody to go and sell their water and their wood to, and therefore they died out. So that's what it means. Shaul didn't actually kill them. That these people supplied Novir HaKohanim, the Givonim supplied them with the water and food, and therefore, when the city was destroyed by Doeg HaEdomi, Malov HaKosov Kilu HaRogan. So it was as if Shaul and Doeg had killed not only Novir HaKohanim, but they'd also killed those people that relied upon them for their financial livelihoods because they gave them water and food. So Gemara says, Kartava El Shul Shul Nisbat Kalocha. So first you tell us that they didn't go and give proper eulogies to Shaul, and then you tell us he killed out the Givonim, the Kartava Al Asher Hemis HaGivonim. It seems to be a very strange juxtaposition here. You didn't mourn him properly, but look what he did. Gemara says, yeah, in. Damar Yishlakish, Yishlakish says, my dirsiv, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Bakshu Es Hashem, you should seek out Hashem who? Call Anvei. Now, the Gersa that we have is Oretz, but it should be Ha-Oretz. Bakshu es Hashem kol anvei Ha-Oretz, asher mishpato po'alo. What does that mean? Kasher mishpato po'alo, kasher mishpato shom po'alo. So, they mention a person's good things at the same time that they give mishpat, they mention his bad things. When you judge a person, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the whole person. Yes, there were both good and bad things that Shaul was being held accountable for or being praised for, and therefore, Shaul was a very great person, but at the same time, there were certain things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged harshly against Shaul. As the bottom Rashi says, "B'makum shedonim o'adam shom maskirin poel tzidkosav." When you judge him, you look at the overall picture. You don't look at just one small aspect of it. Gemara says, "Amar David." David said, "Shaul, in regard to us going and fixing that we didn't eulogize Shaul properly, nafkulhu, and we turn to ayin tes omid aleph. 12 months have already gone by." And it's therefore inappropriate to be masbidim in the normal way. The little dark ill and misbidim if the person's been dead already for 12 months. Because once the person, so to say, after 12 months is somewhat gone from the memory, we have the concept of yud beis chodesh for a parent, the 12 months, not the chas v'shom, you ever forget the parent. The parent will never be forgotten. However, there's a diminution in the loss after a 12-month period of time. And therefore, it's inappropriate to go and reinstitute that level of mourning by having a huge hesped. Therefore, a little dark ill and misbidim. So we'll have to do something else, which we'll see in a moment, the Gemara. Incidentally, the Mefarshim point out that David, in fact, and it says so in the Navi, that David, in fact, did eulogize Shaul. It's the people didn't respond properly to David's eulogies, or they thought that it was a kapara not to go and eulogize him excessively, because this would be a kapara for him. Just like when Chizkiyahu dragged his father's bones, Ochuz's bones, it was a kapara for his father. They thought this would be a kapara for Shaul, that they didn't have a huge eulogy. Alternatively, they had a special type of eulogy that didn't use the usual eulogy, and that's what it means they didn't eulogize him. Or the fourth explanation that the Mefarshim bring down is that David buried originally Shaul in one place, and then they took his bones and buried them in his family's graveyard, and then they were masbidim properly. In any event, Gemara continues and says, what about the Nesinim? How can we go correct that? So therefore, we have the famous tragic events that occurred next, Nikrinu, Unifaisinu. We'll go and call the Nesinim, and we'll go and appease them. Yad, immediately. The Gemara is now going to quote additional Pesukim, but this is a pretty good break point for us to stop over here, albeit it's in the midst of an inyan, and with this we'll conclude today's Shir Mitzvah, and we'll pick up here tomorrow.